Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Elon Musk moved one step closer to completing his $44 billion takeover of Twitter on Tuesday when the company's board of directors unanimously approved his buyout offer, according to an SEC filing. Shares of Twitter were up by just under 1% in the early morning hours on Tuesday, selling for slightly more than $38 a share, well below the $54.20 per share tender offer from Musk. The regulatory filing comes just days after Musk held a virtual all-hands meeting with Twitter employees, the latest sign that the world's richest man is serious about following through on his acquisition plans. In related news, Elon Musk's trans child files to change name and disses dad. The 18-year-old biological son of Elon Musk, who identifies as female, has filed court papers renouncing the billionaire and seeking a name change. Xavier Musk wants to be known as Vivian Jenna Wilson, according to a petition filed in April in Los Angeles County Superior Court in Santa Monica, California, and first reported by the Daily Mail in requesting a new birth certificate to reflect the name and gender change. The younger Musk, whose mother is Canadian author Justine Wilson, dissed the Tesla boss. Gender identity and the fact that I no longer live with or wish to be related to my biological father in any way, shape, or form, the younger Musk gave as the reason for wanting a name change. Wilson and Musk were married from 2000 until 2008 and had six children. Xavier has a twin brother named Griffin and triplet brothers Damian, Kay, and Saxon. Another son, Nevada, died of sudden infant death syndrome. Musk has two other children with singer Grimes, whose names are impossible to say. X, a symbol, A-E, A-I, A/XII, Exa Dark, Sidero, okay? That's as good as I could do. Who goes by Y? Oh, that simplifies it. Grimes and Musk broke up earlier this year, and now she is reportedly dating transgender ex-Army soldier Chelsea Manning, who served time for giving confidential documents to WikiLeaks before the sentence was commuted by then-President Obama. Xavier Musk did not give a reason for rejecting Elder Musk, but it came just as Musk had been increasingly seen as opposing radical gender theory. On Monday, it was reported that the Tesla chief had sacked the automaker's volunteer president of LGBTQ+, although the move may have simply been part of the previously announced plan to reduce the company's staff by 10%. Musk has complained about people specifying their pronouns, expressed support for comic Ricky Gervais after he was accused of being a transphobe, and even responded to a review of Daily Wire's documentary on radical gender theory. What is a woman? We are simultaneously being told that gender differences do not exist and that genders are so profoundly different that irreversible surgery is the only option, Musk tweeted earlier this month in response to the review of the documentary. Perhaps someone wiser than me can explain this dichotomy. Ooh, for him to say someone wiser than me, he knows he's pretty smart. Musk has insisted he supports the rights of LGBT community. I absolutely support trans, but all these pronouns are an aesthetic nightmare. They are kind of an aesthetic nightmare. That's not hate speech. It's just sort of saying it's confusing, I think. Anyway, well, it's sad to see estrangement in families, and I won't pretend to know what's at the root of this one. Obviously, relationships, and particularly family of origin ones, are multifaceted. But I can say there is an agenda afoot to dissolve the power structure of the family, to create division, to separate kids from their parents, to take away parents' power in structuring their children's life around seriously important and irreversible changes. A man in Canada was jailed for misgendering his teenage daughter and powerless to prevent her from cross-sex hormonal treatments well before she was 18, I believe 13, maybe 14, I can't remember quite. And in a time when traditionally parents were there to perhaps prevent them from making mistakes that could negatively affect the rest of their lives, identity is a touchy thing, obviously. And at that age, we tend to try on a multitude of them, like changing outfits from season to season. Parents are there and their influence is there because with years, you have the gift of wisdom to know that the shifts aren't done occurring and that perhaps it's best to not find a permanent solution to a temporary problem. I hope Elon finds peace with his kid. Hopefully it's a phase and they come back together. I'm glad he's getting Twitter though, and let's hope he restores our ability to share crazy ideas like this one in the city square. You're listening to TNT.
Opinions fact checked.
If we don't speak up now, nothing's going to change.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dr. Karen Ben was confused by the COVID-19 lockdown. She said it's never happened before in history to lock down people that aren't sick. It's never happened before in history. So she started digging deeper, studying mRNA technology and getting real suspicious like most of us did. She's got a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a PhD. Oh yeah, she's Dr. Karen Ben, and she's on our show. Welcome, Dr. Karen Ben. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Joseph.
Where are you in the world? Australia? And how's
yes,
your evening?
I'm
or
in Australia.
It's the day there. It's tomorrow already for you.
That's right.
So weird that, isn't it?
I'm sitting here on a
Tuesday evening and you're already in Wednesday. You're already in the future. What's the future like? Dr. Karen Ben is here to tell me about the future. So listen, seriously though, thank you for coming on the show and let me know about your journey in the strange narrative we've all been living through. I guess you were suspicious right at the jump when they suggested lockdowns for healthy people. I thought that was kind of interesting when I was reading on your bio because I hadn't really ever thought of that. They'd never have done that in the history of the whole world before, lockdown healthy people.
Mm. Yes. So in 2009, I stopped watching the news, listening to the news, or reading the news because I was in the middle of my PhD and discovered that there was no semblance of truth in the news. Well, not the mainstream news, and especially not in Australia. So I didn't even know we were having a lockdown until my lovely female neighbours came over for a Sunday morning cuppa and started saying to me, "Have you bought your toilet paper?" And I said, "Why?" And then they proceeded to tell me about this lockdown. And I think I was the only person in the room where my brain was exploding because I used to teach disease prevention and disease management and dug a little into the history of disease prevention and management, and there's never been a recorded event where healthy people have been locked down, so not even for the very worst of diseases. So that was my beginning. That was my entry. And then I had to really research this disease. I'm a person where as soon as on mainstream news they say, "It's never been this bad. It's never been this level of X, whatever it is," I just jump in and start researching because it's usually not true. And I had to educate myself in the process. So it was really interesting for me. I really jumped in and found an enormous number of papers that were very interesting indeed. I'll leave it at that until you want to know something more specific.
Yeah, well, so you're there, you're kind of clueless to the news, but you're focused. We're not talking to a flake, we're talking to Dr. Karen Ben. She's focused on her PhD, she's ignoring the news. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. You're smart. Mm-hmm. you're already interpreted that as propaganda. It's become even a more exaggerated form of propaganda. I had a guest yesterday, mm-hmm. Anders Vanderfelt, who said there used to be like true fake news, and now we're in an era of fake news. And I really mm-hmm. liked that because it's become exaggerated. So you're alerted to the fact that, wait, this has never happened before. And that's kind of interesting. I, as much as we've gone through this, I haven't heard that many people put it just that simply in that way. Yeah, that's true. It just never happened before that where they held down healthy people. And so you're already thinking, okay, this is weird. So did you immediately go to it's a new world order attack on humanity, or was it a rabbit hole you went through? And then where did you start getting resources? You had to engage in modern news resources at that point too, because I don't know if you can go too much into history with mRNA and the new technologies that they were introducing.
So I am a biologist, and I keep up with what's going on. I'm an incessant reader, and I read broadly. So I'll read history, geography, scientific bases, medical, biological, whatever. I'm one of those people that likes to look at the other pieces of the jigsaw to get a more holistic view. So I started with government websites, and I also started with scientific papers, which are very easy to access. And even if you're not attached to a university or an institution, I'd encourage any of your listeners to have a dig and look for scientific papers yourself. It's an interesting journey, especially if you have time. And you can go to a site called Google Scholar, and you can type in any syntax you like to find out about any topic you like. But yes, I have to say my views are influenced by my experience. So I've worked for quite a few government departments, and I, how can I put this politely?
Don't put it politely. That's how you can put it politely. Don't be polite.
Okay. All right. I won't. Governments are not known for their honesty.
Right.
But they are known for playing with truth when they believe they're protecting us from ourselves.
Right.
So, yes, if you know what I mean.
Well, that goes down to two truths and a lie. That's how the devil operates, two truths and a lie.
Yes, that's right. So I noticed that there were... talking about PCR tests before they'd even had the genetic code, and that rang an alarm bell. When I was reading about mRNA and how it's constructed, that was quite shocking as an advancement, because it uses no part of a living organism. It's completely synthesized. And to do that, you have to know the codes, you know, the base pair codes. So I had read papers where there were bits of the base pair codes missing, but they were just going to pop them in and, you know, like a calculated guess.
What are base pair codes?
Okay, so our DNA codes are made up of four main amino acids: cytosine, guanine, adenine, and thymine. Mm-hmm. And it works like A and G and T and C pair up. I hope I got that
okay.
right. I'm not looking at one right at this moment. So they come in pairs. You know, you've got two strands of genetic material, a bit like a ladder. And you know how that ladder's twisted to make a double helix, but it's a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
It's twisted so it fits in the cell. But these pairs can be, they usually follow a routine. But if you're missing any information for one of the pair or both of the pair, you kind of have to make it up. And I thought, this just doesn't seem right to me. This seems extremely odd. So I kept looking. As soon as characters were appearing on the scene, like Bill Gates, I did a big dive into his background and the institutions he was involved in relating to the vaccines. And that was very interesting politically. And just to give you an idea how it triggered me, was I noticed, I called up some government documents that showed that now a lot of countries are getting foreign aid as vaccines, and they're doing those deals directly with the organisations that Bill Gates had been involved in, which was Gavi and CEPI. So where we would have once, Australia would have once been funding people in the Pacific with books and education and access to healthcare, other resources, it was almost all now for vaccines. And that triggered me a little bit, because that seemed to be a very quick turnaround. And when I looked up CP, then I saw how many countries were involved in giving aid as vaccines. And it was something that's happened very quickly. So that made me very suspicious.
Okay, so a couple questions. For one, you were started talking about how the mRNA synthesizes with the twisting ladders of our human DNA, and I wanted you to go a little bit further into that and what was troubling to you about that, and then also what is troubling to you about aid in the way of vaccines? Is that because that's a pocket lining thing, or because they were already prepared to do this rollout, or yeah, explain yourself a little bit deeper on those two factors.
Yes, okay. So I am aware enough about vaccines to know they are not easy to make. Every single vaccine will cause damage or death in some people. There is no such thing as a drug, a treatment, or a vaccine that is completely, utterly safe. As soon as people start saying things like this is very safe when it's brand new and never been tested, that's alarm bells for me. So I used to work at James Cook University, where Bill Gates was involved in funding research for dengue. The dengue disease is like malaria. It's the vector, the thing that passes on the parasite is the mosquito. And there are a lot of mosquito-borne diseases in the Pacific area that Australia donates money to. Now, in the past, that money would have gone to simple prevention on things like don't go outside early in the morning or late in the evening without covering yourself up. Avoid lots of water around your house, sitting in pot trays or something like that. I lived in Cairns, and dengue comes to Cairns every year, and we would mostly be informed about what to do to prevent getting that disease. So I lived in Cairns for 16 years, followed those directions, and never got dengue. I've had four people stay at my house who didn't follow those directions who did get dengue. So it seemed to me you could prevent this with some pretty basic knowledge and pay attention to it without it interfering too much in your life and your lifestyle. To suddenly see Bill Gates get, I shouldn't just say Bill Gates, to see his organisation get priority funding for several experimental vaccines such as Zika virus, which is not just a harmful disease, but the vaccine data on Zika virus is horrific. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I'd rather take my chances with a bite from the mosquito. So there's this transition into... It rang bells for me politically. I just saw connections going on here. This was a case of some people, and not all of them who make vaccines, but why are some people, particularly Jeremy Farrar and Bill Gates, who run CP, who are both very well connected politically? So Jeremy Farrar was running Wellcome Trust in England, which has its tentacles in everything. It was developed by a Lord, Wellcome, I think his name was. But these are all people who are connected to power.
Right. Well, so yeah, you're just saying an exaggeration of power from Bill Gates and the like. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of obvious at this point as well, that there's, you know, like a lot of deals going down.
I'm a scientist. So, you know, it's not unusual to see certain people get all of their papers published and others don't.
Right.
You know, we understand that world. But for this sudden rise, it was a sudden rise of this infiltration of using vaccines. And then when I delved into that and saw that there had already been a call out for preparation for disease X, and that CEPI was going to fund people who would be involved in helping roll out whatever you had to roll out, you know, all the logistics in how to manage disease X. And also some of the scientific papers I read, the first paragraph and the last paragraph written by high-level medical people talked about what a wonderful new technology mRNA vaccines promise to be, because they're so cheap to make and they're a wonderful opportunity for investment, financial investment. That's not very, it's very uncommon for anyone to start and finish a scientific paper with such a push for the business opportunities. I just found that kind of a little bit suspicious.
So let's go further into your journey into uncovering how nefarious this whole thing was and how it affected you right after these short words with Dr. Karen Benn. We're on with Karen Benn, and you're listening to TNT.
You should hear what James Breslow is talking about.
And in the hands of this president or in the hands of the drug cartel. I mean, it seems like there's no business that they are not associated with. I mean, they're really, if people want to think about a comparison, just think about the mafia in New York, you know, where they control neighborhoods and so on. And, you know, protection money, they're going around to businesses and basically saying, if you don't want your business lit on fire by someone, we'll protect you. Just pay us every week.
That's exactly what's happening.
I mean, in order to do business in Mexico, you are doing business with the cartels, perhaps except for maybe the largest corporations, perhaps, right? But anything below the largest corporations, wouldn't you say?
Right. Even them, they're not safe. I mean, you know, if you have a CEO of a large corporation, that guy's going to have to hire bodyguards for his children to go to school, because they'll kidnap one of them and they'll ask for a large ransom.
James Breslow on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The 2020 election was the most secure in U.S. history.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
He lost a fair and secure election.
The most secure
election in American history.
Really?
All those of you who volunteered and worked the polls, you deserve a special thanks from the entire nation.
This one mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes. He's not alone. We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops. Leaving no fingerprints. Snapping photos to get paid. A coordinated ring of illegal vote harvesting in all the key states where the election was decided.
They've delivered us a clear victory.
Game over.
Stream at Salem Now or Locals.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is TNT Radio, where you meet the entire menagerie of mankind.
And some who haven't yet been cataloged.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dr. Karen Benn went down a wild rabbit hole when she saw that there was strange shenanigans happening around, you guessed it, COVID-19. And we're back with Dr. Karen Benn. So, you know, I do want to hear about your journey into figuring out how this was sort of a diabolical agenda, but I'm kind of curious as well to fast forward to your perspective on where you think it's at now, because it's kind of like we've already lived through this and it's like we sort of know how crazy it is. It's unfolded and it just to me, as we peel this weird onion, it just keeps getting crazier and crazier. How dark do you think this whole thing is? Because, yeah, obviously financial incentives that you were alluding to earlier, and they're outright saying it with the vaccines, and it is a big business and all that. But do you think it's darker than that? There's many people that think what's going on is a genocide.
Yes, I also think that. And I did not leap to that. I'm very skeptical about everything. My experience has taught me to do that because I've uncovered quite a lot of myths. I'm an environmental scientist, and my journey has taken me on quite a lot of myth-busting. I didn't personally do it, but finding out about it. So I remain skeptical.
After this, we're going to talk about the myth of overpopulation. We'll go to that. But So okay, so that's interesting. So you didn't jump to that. You're skeptical. You're hearing people with conspiracy theories about how dark this is, and you're probably going, yeah, right, sure. And you're a measure. I can hear it in your voice. You're a very measured, considered person. So tell us about you going from, hey, this is a little weird. There's these financial things going on, and how come Bill Gates has, you know, a fast lane to all these places. I get all that. Go take us from there to, wait a minute, this is even darker than I imagined.
Okay. Yeah. So there's just one short intermediary step. I followed anyone I could find who was a scientist who had come up with interventions that would work. So a classic example was Professor Seeberger from Max Planck Institute, who knew that there was a plant called Artemisia annua, Chinese wormwood, or it's got other names as well, that the Africans have used for centuries. Like, it's recorded by the ancient Greeks and Romans that when these people took this, ate this plant or had it in the form of tea, they didn't suffer from malaria. And what we knew about the disease was it was inflammatory. So the reason drugs like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine work is they stop the inflammation. They stop this thing called a cytokine storm, and it makes sense.
Right.
In fact, almost all of our modern illnesses now are inflammatory diseases that are associated with autoimmune suppression or problems. So he was suddenly, there he was on the internet being able to speak freely. Next thing, he's silenced.
Mm.
And around about the same time, I was studying the flu vaccine, because as a researcher, what you do is you hang your research off the spine of another similar study. And it was my first time. I used to be one of those people who promoted vaccines, and I'd had vaccines all my life, you know.
Same.
Yeah, and lucky though, I didn't have a lot when I was a baby.
Me neither.
So,
1971, that's the key. I was born in 1971. We had three, and they kicked us in the behind, and then we never had autoimmune issues. I realized something was weird when all of my younger friends could never eat anything. They're like, oh, I can't eat that. If I eat that, I'll blow up like a balloon. Like, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
If you eat a salad, you can't eat a salad? What's going on? And over and over and over again, anyone born like past 1980 can't do anything. It's like,
it's so true.
Keep going.
It's so true. I can eat anything.
Me too. I'm happy to be 50, Dr. Karen Ben. I'm happy. I'm happy I'm a 1971 dude.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, I'm pretty happy too. I'm actually older than you, and I'm pretty grateful too. So there was that going on, plus uncovering a lot of information about the flu vaccine, the one that's handed out every year. And that was opening a Pandora's box. And there were scholars who I knew who were being silenced about that. So I thought, this is weird. So that was the step. And then beyond that step was the... this concern that nothing was being looked at holistically. Nothing was, nobody was looking at a human being with everything they bring to being exposed to a disease. So we knew it was an inflammatory, and very inflammatory disease, and therefore treatments that were anti-inflammatory, that's what you could prescribe. And there's a whole suite of them.
Right.
There's heaps of them. You know, I just, I've got one paper that lists about 100 that you could
use. Hey, let me interject real quick, you know, because it went a lot further than them not prescribing any of them. They went into demonizing, and even if you wrote about it on social media, getting banned. I mean, it, like, that's where the cognitive dissonance really kicked in for me, because especially you do a little research on ivermectin. For one, there was 4,000 comments on under everything saying, oh man, ivermectin works, ivermectin works, ivermectin works. And it's anecdotal, obviously. It's not a, like, a studied paper or whatever, or official paper. But, you know, when 500 million people are screaming online that ivermectin works, and then you realize it has a safety protocol that's safer than Tylenol, you're like, well, why are they demonizing any talk of this? You know, how can that be anything but nefarious?
It's so true. Well, then I decided to research the ingredients, because every day I'd hear, we don't know what's in them. We don't know what's in these vaccines. So I researched it, and I found the ingredients, or at least every ingredient listed for the four main Western vaccines that were provided to the FDA and the CDC for approval. And the list of adverse reactions was mind-blowing, and it was matching the incredibly broad-spectrum suite of people's suffering that was being put up on Telegram channels, which, by the way, I just want to say that without Telegram, I wouldn't have been able to see people's adverse reactions. I actually saw the photos. So it was so broad and so confusing that people couldn't get that in their head. This is meant to be a respiratory disease. How come I've got swollen feet and hands? How come the both of my legs have blown up to twice the size and they're leaking? There's liquid coming out of the skin, you know, and so on and so forth. So it was too confusing. And that's why they could get away with all these excuses like, oh, that's nothing to do with COVID. And my sister in England became double vaxxed very quickly. She's older than me. And I was devastated that I couldn't positively try to influence her. And also her list of adverse reactions that just kept increasing. And she's leaping from... you know, she had the swollen legs and the bright red soles of her feet and hands that just full of, it just shows that the blood has leaked into the lymph. So, you know, you've got compromised blood vessels, you've got thrombosis, you've got diabetes, and anyway, blah, blah. So that really got me into trying to discover the ingredients. And when you look at the ingredients, you can't help as a scientist, say to yourself, and how in any circumstance would these be approved even for an emergency well before they were released, just well before they were released? It's just a litany of danger. So then I just kept looking, and the more I looked, the more I found people who were very solid scientists, like Dr. Michael Yeadon, Secret Bhakti, etc. And they were coming to that conclusion. And they also are skeptical people. You know,
you bring up Dr. Michael Yeadon, and he's particularly profound to me because of his association with Pfizer. He was the former president of Pfizer or vice president. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but he had a high up position. He's been warning about these vaccines, or experimental injections, rather, since way back in the day.
Yes, he did. And luckily for him, he's now in Florida, I believe, working with Santos. Yep. So it was too mind-blowing to see people who've won, you know, prizes for their work being silent. And then I got to that awful furry edge of the rabbit hole, which takes you beyond that. And that was too much. I avoided it several times. And then I went down that. And we won't talk about that today because it's just so mind-blowing. That,
why? That's what we want. Scary. We want mind-blowing. We want to talk about that.
Well, these are beyond health. This is deeply political and, you know, the...
Well, that's okay. We're on TNT. We have free speech here. That's okay. This is encouraged. So tell us about the unspeakable.
What's been happening with children worldwide?
Oh, yeah.
The ring, yeah. I just found that so shocking, and it's so organized. I received a document that was so detailed with names, photos, and it's just so detailed, I couldn't ignore it. And it's organized like a business so much in such a cold way. I just, you know, my brain, it was a lot for me to...
What did it address. Say?
It named the places where these children were being kept and stored to have their adrenochrome removed, what ages they were, the first name of the children, the name of the minders in these locations, and, how they nominated which ones would be next.
Did you receive these papers?
From a person who had received them, who then made that available to a small range of people, because she was shocked, and she actually wanted to know what people thought about the validity. I'm very skeptical, and even with scientific papers, I'm very skeptical. I'm trained to do that. So there is a possibility this document wasn't real, but my goodness, I've never seen something that detailed that wasn't real. So
hold on, let me press you a little bit with this, because this is like,
okay.
Obviously this is a subject where instantly the, oh, you're one of those, like, full-on conspiracy, mm-hmm. conspiracy. But yes. You are a measured person, and you didn't even want to mention this. And I understand why, because it does, you know, produce that effect. But what you're saying here is that it was so detailed, it felt legitimate to you, not like some whack job, so to speak, like just made up some stuff to try to, like, cultivate extremism or whatever. There was something about this document that was so detailed that your intuition told you it was real. What about it being that detailed made your intuition tell you that it was real?
Well, it made me think of government documents I've worked with or on or used, where you got minute bureaucratic details. They're mostly bureaucratic details. So it wasn't written to alarm anyone. You know, it's like just details of the where, the when, the how, who's involved, only the first names of the children, but their ages, how many were kept at each of these locations, a photo of the person in charge. You could kind of get the sense that the person in charge didn't really know exactly what was going on. They just looked like ordinary people, you know, like ordinary people doing a job.
Maybe like foster care parents or something like that, and they didn't realize the final destination.
Yeah. Well, I that's all I can think was that they didn't fully know what was going on. But it was the kinds of bureaucratic details that life is made up of that made it ring true for me. I'd be very happy to be disproven and very happy to have, you know, that not be real. But it just seemed like it was. And then I started going down those rabbit holes a little bit, like trying to follow a stream of information. That's kind of how research works anyway. You go... you start off in the river and you go down creeks and you follow as far as you can to the sources. So I didn't get a long way through, but it kept bringing me to personalities, known celebrities, famous people, etc. Now, I can't say that that's absolutely true. I can't prove that, at all. And they weren't papers. They were more pieces of information. But when you start, so what I would do is if they named a famous person, I would kind of research them, especially if they were royalty. So with some of the royals that were listed, I researched them. And I was surprised what I found about them that was hidden in the royal family. And it wasn't necessarily about, what they did with children. It was other things. So it...
Like what? What are the other things?
Oh, well, for example, the Dutch royal family were heavily tied up with Hitler, and they were Nazis. And it was hidden even by Winston Churchill because they were allies. So that was covered up, and they made up they were sort of taken away and had no access to being able to talk to anyone about how they were going for a few years. But there are photos of some of these royals on horses in full,
German. Nazi regalia.
Nazi.
All right. Well, Dr. Karen Benn, hold on. We got to go to a quick break. But listen, you have taken me from, hey, there's some financial stuff going on with Bill Gates at the top of the last break. I was like, I got to fast forward this story a little bit. And then we've gone all the way down. Like, I got to be careful with you. You can take. No, this is fascinating. It really is, actually. Mm-hmm. We're going to get right back to it with Dr. Karen Benn after these words on TNT.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
The 28th of June Republican primary for governor of Colorado will see an interesting contest between American entrepreneur Heidi Ganahl and ex-mayor Greg Lopez. Ganahl is the favourite, has big name endorsements, and she has raised more than $1 million, about 8 times more money than Lopez. But Democrat-aligned outside groups have started pouring in hundreds of thousands of dollars to boost Lopez's image in the hope that he will be an easier opponent in November for the incumbent Democrat Governor Jared Polis. Legacy Media describes Lopez as the right-wing underdog in the race. He says Donald Trump won the 2020 presidential election and has compared vaccine mandates to racial segregation. If Lopez has a shock victory in the upcoming 28th of June primary, Governor Polis will face a tougher challenge in November than he may anticipate. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great. And I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on you. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom. Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings?
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A global program for digital identity supported by the World Economic Forum is well underway, but the mainstream media fails to report it and the dangers it presents to individual privacy and freedom from government control. Australia has a trusted digital identity framework. New Zealand has a digital identity services trust framework. And there's the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework. You get the picture. Governments clearly want our trust in this program, and several nations claim adopting digital identities will be voluntary, including Australia. But Australians were told COVID vaccines would be voluntary. That didn't stop the mandates. Australia's Digital Economy Strategy 2030 states we'll be succeeding when, quote, the significant majority of Australians over 18 are registered for MyGovID or other trusted digital identity, unquote. And that, quote, all new businesses are born digital through streamlined business registration. Is this really voluntary?
for the news and views you can't hear anywhere else.
Everybody here wants information about what's going on.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Dr. Karen Benn. We've gone from Bill Gates and financial stuff to Andronochrome. And basically, the way I would put it all together is we're dealing with a spiritual war and we're dealing with evil. Wouldn't you say?
I totally agree. And I've been through, I see COVID as a kind of a mirror for our personal journeys.
Right.
It's one of those things that it's a horrible thing and yet it's a good thing because it's really getting us to open
yes.
our eyes and our hearts and our minds.
Oh, you know, can I don't want to cut you off, but I have to comment on that because it's so true. It's like I equate it as a brilliant thing as well, and it's a horrific thing. And the cost of our evolution spiritually is deep, but it feels like we're all waking up and our consciousness is expanding. And those of us who haven't been afraid to speak truth and stay with the truth through this whole thing and take the losses. I'm sure you've lost friends and family as a result of your take on this whole thing as well. It must have happened, you know. And but you're right. It is this up-leveling that's happening at the same time as this horror story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it very much is. You know, in my youth, I was a rabid greenie, a rabid lefty, and an atheist. My spiritual journey's been happening, you know, kicking along. And I just see this, you know, there are a lot of people who've said this statement. If you told me that I would be saying that this is a spiritual war and it's about good and evil, and if you said that to me 2 years ago, I would have said, what? I don't think so. So it's really had us all level up, like you say, and we're really now looking at what's important. I work with children. I've left all my big, high-profile jobs, and I prefer working with children to support them in their learning difficulties. And really, the commonality is they've lost their confidence. If you have confidence, you can learn anything, any time, and I'm living proof of that. So I think it's the same thing that's been, you know, stripped away from us ever since World War II happened, and probably before, during World War I. There's some things I can track back to those events. But these narratives have something in common, and that is that people are bad. We've been hoodwinked into thinking people are bad. People are doing harm here, there, and everywhere. Now, the stuff we were just talking about a moment ago, that is harm, and that's not the people, that's the elite.
Yeah.
So the people are fine. You know, we're
some of the people are fine. Some of the people have become complicit with evil because also it is really obvious with a little bit of research and particularly now. And now if you're complicit with it, it's a form of a humiliation ritual because the devil isn't just interested in your life. The devil is interested in your soul. And the devil doesn't get your soul if you're not complicit. If you're just going, hi, da 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 da, I got tricked, and then you accidentally do some evil stuff. Your soul's fine, you know. That's not what the devil wants, your soul. So the devil is going to make it obvious. And then when you acquiesce to, you know, giving shots to 6-month-year-olds, for instance, at this point in the storyline of this COVID nightmare, you're complicit with evil at that point. You are participating in evil at that point. And it's, you know, the excuse that you're just getting duped because of propaganda at this point, that's running thin, and it's running thinner and thinner and thinner.
Yes, it is. I agree with you. And it's like I have left organizations that make me feel sick simply because they're so dishonest. So You know, I am a person who would leave a high-paying job to not be involved in something that I believe is wrong. And, you know, when I spoke to my doctor before I left Brisbane to move up north and asked her, could she update my mask exemption? And she said, well, why don't you just get the vaccine? And I just looked at her and she knows.
Because you're an idiot. You should have said, because you're an idiot. That's why I can't get the vaccine. Because you're a moron. That's why.
Well, I just said to her, do you know what's in it? And she said, no, but I trust it. And that's about the most unscientific statement you could ever make.
I mean, so there's so much so I want to go in with you, though. I want to find out about this. Oh, sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
That's all right.
Well, no, because you brought up the fact about, like, you had mentioned that you sort of found out what was in these shots. So I'm curious about that. And I'm also curious about what you said about children with special needs, and it's a confidence crisis. We have about 5 minutes left. If you can quickly tell me what's in the mRNA injections that you discovered, if you have that info, and then go in a little bit into how we all build our confidence to be able to achieve anything we can in this life. Let's leave this with like an up-level sort of optimistic, you know, sort of inspiring place. And I got to have you back because we have to talk about overpopulation. And I feel like we just sort of started the conversation and it's been wonderful meeting you. So we'll go deeper. We can go for days. But so give me those two things if you can, mRNA injections, what's in them, and confidence.
I think the best thing I can do is anyone who's on Telegram, go to a site called Vax Facts Chat. And I've got a document uploaded there where I list all of the ingredients and their adverse reactions. And that's the best way to find that information. Because otherwise it just sounds overly scientific if I rattle the things off. And the other one about, you know, confidence. And I think the people who are susceptible to, because the big question for me, Joseph, was how come some people get this and see what's going on and the others don't? Like it was just, it's nothing to do with education or intelligence. What's going on?
Right. You're right.
So I think that spiritualism has something to do with it, you know, people who are close to nature, people who reflect, etc. But I also think it's got to do with the brainwashing of humans bad. And I might just sort of put a pause on that and talk about where I think we need to go. Our children, young children, have lost their confidence and they're worried sick about everything, including their marks at school. Primary school kids are doing homework and worrying themselves sick about it. I did no homework as a primary school student at all. This idea of not supporting all of our young people and everybody on planet Earth to celebrate how wonderful we are, our achievements, the wonderful things that people do, who we are. You know, humans are truly amazing. I love humans.
Me too. Me too. So, hallelujah, Karen.
So, you know, there's something there about if we could, you know, have a little bit more gratitude and be, you know, count our blessings for being alive on this amazing planet, which is fine, and not falling prey so much to these horror stories of that are totally mythical. And looking up, the other thing is this idea of the government will look after us as if they were our parents. And I don't think that's healthy either. So I think to me it's simple about being, there is one more thing. Matthias Desmet helped bring me back.
Oh, I love Matthias Desmet. Yo, mass formation psychosis, he's my guy.
He helped me come back to continue to talk about the other side.
Me too.
Of the narrative.
Me too.
Yeah, because
he told you about how important it is for voices of dissent to stop atrocities from really occurring. And that made me double down on just going, okay, I'm just going to speak my mind. But we only have 1 minute left, so wrap
all
it
right.
up, Karen.
So, all right. So anyone who gets down about it, you don't have to tell people what you know. Ask them what they know. Where did they get it from? How are they sure of it? Or ask questions. Questions are more powerful, and they're not lecturing. And that's something I had to stop doing. So just ask people questions. And don't stop asking the questions, because just like you said, Joseph, paraphrasing Matthias, if we don't keep asking the questions, this won't stop. But if we keep asking the questions, it'll work.
Okay, Dr. Karen Benn, thank you for coming on. You're a sister from another mister. We love you here. We got to have you back. Keep listening, everybody. You're listening to TNT.